All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And just a reminder, next Saturday is the big second annual e-cycling event. It's over at the Tab Computer Systems World Headquarters in East Hartford. It's on Bissell Street in East Hartford, 9 to noon, you know, right when the show happens roughly. So we'll be there live doing the show. And our partner, Environmental Office Solutions, will be there accepting your e-cycling. E stands for electronic. Not like bringing your letter E's in. We don't need any fonts. We don't want to get rid of your fonts, your cyrillic E. No, we want to e-cycle your electronic equipment and come on down, and we'll do our best to do that for you. If you have any empty ink cartridges, they love those things. Toner cartridges, but you know, printers, LED, LCD monitors, computers, laptops, cell phones. Get them recycled. That way they're not going to end up in your landfill. So as I wait for your calls, 860-522-9842, in the same vein of my Nest thermostat that I still can't get working without changing the 20-year-old panel again, which makes no sense to me, the FTC now is being urged to make smart devices say how long they're going to be supported.
Yes.
Sudden subscription fees, lost features, you know, death by a thousand cuts is what this article is all about. And, you know, I kind of agree that, you know, if you have a smart device, you're putting in whatever you're putting in. Like we talked about smart light bulbs and smart switches and smart cameras and smart garage door openers and all this kind of stuff. It stinks when they no longer have support and you have to replace the smart thing.
Right.
Because it got stupid all of a sudden.
It went from smart to stupid in 0 seconds.
Yeah. And the reason it does that is because the manufacturer decides not to host the internet interface that they made requirement to have the smart device. Now, I would contend you don't need it to talk to the internet.
Right. It but should be able to just talk to the rest of your network.
As it is, right? So yeah. It's like if the smart garage door opener company goes out of business, I still want to be able to open and close my garage door without having it to talk to the internet. If it could talk to my cell phone, that's all I needed to do.
Right.
So this hopefully will happen. There was a whole thing about Peloton bikes. So during COVID, while we all hung out with each other in our own homes rather than our offices, people were buying smart Pelotons, right? Ridiculous expensive spinner bikes there. And everyone was getting fit while they were drinking like fish. And so now people are realizing it's you're just hanging your clothing on it, right? You're hanging all your laundry on your Peloton and you're trying to sell it. Well, guess what now? If you want to buy a used Peloton, Dennis?
I don't know. What?
You get a $95 activation fee from Peloton. Just
what?
As the new user. Yep.
Oh,
isn't that nice? Nice little fee there for nothing, really. Just a used equipment activation fee, and it's just purely random, right? Peloton, and they can do it, right? They can do whatever they want. So we'll see what happens with the FTC and this guidance here. But when you put all this effort into, let's say you change out all your switches in your house to be smart switches, and then the company goes out of business,
well.
That's expensive.
Right. And think about what would happen if you were using just a real physical switch.
Yeah.
I mean, when you buy a switch to put on your wall.
It works.
It works and you flip it and it goes in, on and off. Okay.
Yeah, right.
And you don't expect that someday you're going to flip that switch and nothing happens because the company that made it somehow managed to put in a deadline and it fails to work.
Or worse, so, it fails on. The whole house is lit up and you can't turn your lights off.
Right. Yeah.
That's what it fails to.
But why would smart devices, which are supposed to take the place of things like that,
right,
just stop functioning at some point? I mean,
they get lobotomized.
It's just not logical.
And it also slows down the adoption of it, right? Because there's some great benefits to having a Nest thermostat that can actually know when I'm not home and actually turn the heat down or turn the AC up, whatever it is, when I'm there or not there, right? Rather than running and heating and cooling while we're not there. It's a wonderful idea, right? It could save you, especially here in Connecticut, where we can't seem to figure out how to get electricity to our houses in an affordable way. I think Eversource is going to give me $85 back for putting this in if I can make it work. wouldn't it be awful if they decided to say, well, this Nest no longer works for you after you spend all that money on it? And it takes a while to recoup the energy savings of this smart device. So why would you invest in all these switches and all these devices when you just can't be certain if they're going to stay online? You should be able to leave them as they are and work with the whatever iOS was uploaded as the last iOS without having to talk to the internet. You should be able to talk to the internal network of the device, right?
Right. Exactly.
And that way, if your phone is on the network with your smart device, it doesn't have to go talk to the cloudy mothership. It just is what it is as they stopped updating it, and it'll keep working that way as what it should be. So we'll see what happens as far as these folks are urging the FTC to do something. I kind of agree with the thought. So let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Laura. I think Laura's first. Yep, Laura in New Haven first. What's happening, Laura?
Hey, good morning. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
First of all, your show is the one I love, but I'm also the most scared of, because every time I listen, I learn something that I should be doing that I'm not. Mm. So thank you very much for the show. But my question is concerning, I just purchased my first iPad, the 10th generation, with the 256K gig. And I'm interested in this Magic Pen. I did not buy it yet. And I wondered not only your thoughts on it, but also, are there any other alternatives that might serve, that might be better, less expensive, or more functional that you know of? I'm just curious to find that out.
Hmm. I don't use the Magic Pen. Have you ever used one there, Dennis?
I have not used, well, I think Apple actually calls it a Magic Pencil, but I haven't used it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's
right,
Apple.
Right.
They got to have their own name for it.
Yeah.
Everybody, all the other companies in the world call them pens, and they have to call it a pencil.
All right.
I mean, thank you, Apple. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't used them. The only thing along those lines that I do have and use is a Wacom tablet, which has its own pen that I have plugged into a computer. It's not an iPad, so and it's not directly, the pen part doesn't exactly directly connect to the device.
And they're up to the Magic Pencil 3, right, Laura?
I think 2. And I think it's funny, because I think this particular iPad, though, it's the latest, the 10th generation from 2022, it only will work with one of the two pencils they have out. I don't know. That's Apple for you.
Well, yeah.
I guess more than in a general sense, generally speaking, would you recommend buying an Apple product to go with an Apple product versus trying to find something else that might work with an Apple product? I mean, you know.
Yes. Most likely you're going to want to buy the Apple product. I mean, Apple's very much their own ecosphere. I'd be shocked if there even was knockoff pencils.
Oh, there are.
Are there?
Logitech makes them.
Really?
Wacom makes one.
To work with the iPad?
Yeah.
All right. I would still recommend Apple with Apple. If you're going to be doing some sketching, you're going to be using this like a drawing tool?
Yeah, more of a markup tool. I want to do some note taking too.
Mm-hmm.
But I had called you guys back several months about the iPad. Mainly I'm using it for music and stuff like that. So I won't do a lot of drawing, but I want to be able to mark up like sheet music and stuff like that.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Interestingly, Mike G found an article from Tom's Guide about alternatives to Apple pencils.
Oh, okay.
And it looks like it's got some reviews of different devices. And, pluses, minuses for them for each one. So we can post that article for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, yeah. I can self-educate. That'd be awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, we've never played with it, so wish I could be more help.
Okay. No, you were helpful. I'll look forward to seeing the article. That'll help me out.
All right,
okay, guys, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay, bye. Right,
bye-bye. The Magic Pencil.
Yeah. And, of course, it's magic. It's not a pen. It's a pencil.
Right.
And it's magic.
So that's the thing, too.
As if all the other devices out there that are really the same kind of thing aren't themselves magical. See,
well,
Apple has to inject that
word into
the name.
What you see is what you get is magical. WYSIWYG. When it works.
Well, when it works and when it first came out, man, that was glorious.
But yes. And it makes a whole lot of sense to take technology and make it something spooky and mysterious you know, look at how this magic pencil works on your iPad. Ooh. But for music notation, it's really cool. I'm in some bands and folks use the iPads and it's pretty handy dandy, and you can actually mark up the music it's kind of nice. You just got to make sure your tablet's charged and you don't run out of juice in the middle of a concert. Right. Let's go on to Ray and see what's going on in Burlington. Hey, Ray.
Hello. Good morning. And thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a couple questions. And first, I want to mention that I've got a Lenovo Yoga Pro 3. It's about 8 years old. And recently, it's starting to freeze up after it could. Sometimes it'll last half an hour, a couple hours or so. But then it'll freeze up and I have to manually shut it off and then turn it back on. And one thing I did find was I use Quicken. So a couple days ago, without getting into Quicken, didn't freeze up all day. But then yesterday, I again didn't head it on, didn't go into Quicken, and it did freeze up, I'm going to say, probably mid-afternoon or so. And I noticed that looked at a Google search, and there were some, haven't read them yet, but there were some postings about Quicken causing computers to freeze up. Hmm. So my first question to you is this. I know it's an older machine, but it still has some use for me.
Yeah.
So is it, if you could give me a couple ideas, or if you could post any kind of maybe links to things I should check out
troubleshooting.
Troubleshooting so that it doesn't freeze up.
What OS are you running? Do you know?
Oh, it's Windows 10.
Windows 10, okay. Lots of reasons that this is a laptop freezing up, right? Usually it's heat.
Usually heat, okay.
Sometimes, yeah.
So okay. That would be where I would look first. You may want to make sure you blow out any dust that's blocking up any of the vents that allow the laptop to cool. There are cooling pads you can buy to help old laptops kind of stay cooler. Could be a RAM issue, bad memory. So if you've got a couple of memory sticks in there, one of them could be faulty or failing.
Okay. Yep.
You would pop it out, put it. Well, you can just pop it out actually, and you end up with less RAM and see if it doesn't freeze without that RAM in there, if it's removable or not.
Okay.
Yes, certain softwares can. I mean, what version of this Quicken is this? I mean, Quicken hasn't been used in a long time, so is it a current version?
It's still in development.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't see it very
often. Yeah, it's still. What I do is I have a used to be just a version, and you have to purchase a new version. Hmm. But I've got a yearly subscription to it because I've been using it for so long that it just upgrades automatically for me.
All right, so it's current version. That's good news, and is working with Windows 10. So I doubt it's Quicken causing it, unless you have insufficient resources for it to run. Like I told you guys, I updated my tool that I used to do streaming here, and now all of a sudden it's overdriving the USB port, so I can't use some of the technology as easily as I would like to because it overdrove the ports on this laptop. So you could have gotten to a point where you need more resources, so maybe upgrading the laptop. It's 8 years old. I don't know that I'd tell you to do that.
You know, well, that goes right into my next question because I like Lenovo, and I heard you guys talking about the HP Spectre and their line.
Yeah.
And from what I've read, I guess Lenovo may not be as, I'll say, as top line as HP, but I've always liked the Lenovo.
Mm-hmm.
So I was considering this is, I don't do gaming, I don't do a lot of heavy, CPU usage.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the Lenovo 14-inch 7i different. I guess the nice thing about having a lot of options is you've got a lot of things you can look at. The difficulty is in trying to compare and see what you want to get. But the Lenovo 7i is in that price point, I'll say, that we're thinking about, just upgrading from my Pro 3. Do you have any comments about the Lenovos?
We do have customers that do ask for them in our client base. But they're a Chinese they're a Chinese company, and we've had more discussions about that or that manufacturer as far as when it comes down to security for our customer base. So that's the only thing I would say, but you're not launching the space shuttle, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
If you like the brand, you like the brand. So, we sell Lenovo, we sell Dell, we sell HP, for our customers because they all have these preferences, right?
Right.
So you sometimes just have to offer it. And generally, they've been fine. It's just if there's repair issues, we've seen Lenovo be a lot slower at getting repairs done. But that can also be just a relationship issue with how many devices they sell.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Well, thanks very much for the advice. If you do come across any particular sites that might also have some steps to go through to check out, as you say, it could be the heat.
Could be heat and bad RAM. There is a.
Also be the hard drive is beginning to fail.
What about a diagnostic tool we can have around? Do you have a tool that you'd recommend?
Well, there use the diagnostics
it's
that
on
are in
Lenovo.
The computer. Yeah. During boot, have it run its own diagnostic.
Mm-hmm.
There are really a lot of things that we can tell you to try.
Right.
Yep.
One thing might be to update the drivers.
Mm.
So go to, Lenovo has a program usually installed called Vantage.
Right.
Not Advantage, but Vantage.
Right.
And you can use that to have it check for any updated drivers. Now, it's 8 years old. I don't know how recent any of those drivers are going to be. I have seen, at least in newer computers, where there's a change to Windows, and then the manufacturer releases new drivers to compensate for whatever that change was, and then people see an improvement in performance.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't expect that that's going to happen in an eight-year-old computer. But it's worth doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's free. It probably won't hurt anything, so you may as well give it a shot. But I'm thinking that maybe you've either got RAM or a hard drive failing, and on an eight-year-old computer, I wouldn't be doing anything else with it.
Okay. All right, Ray.
Okay. Thanks. Oh, can I mention one more thing about it?
I'll get in trouble with Carolyn, as you have to hold.
You know what? That's fine. I think that's good. I'm going to go check out the computer now. So thanks for your advice. I appreciate it, and have a good rest of the day, folks.
You too, Ray. Thank you. All right, bye-bye. We'll step out for a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. A couple lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. Wherever you are on the planet, you pick up your cell phone and get to a couple pasty white computer geeks who will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we talked about is posted over at computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you're part of our Facebook group, the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, we let you in. Nothing to do with Zuckerberg. However, he could still block the information, but we're going to post it out there for you, and you can take a look at it. And, of course, if you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, we'll check it out. We'll get it right to your news feed. And just a reminder again, we have the big e-cycling event next Saturday at the Tab Computer Systems World Headquarters in East Hartford on Bissell Street. Go head toward the mural, brand new mural on Bissell Street there, right up against the old liquor store. And come on down and we'll take your e-cycling off your hands. So any of your old electronic equipment, Environmental Office Solutions in East Hartford are one of our clients and partners in this event. Happily e-cycle it responsibly, so it doesn't end up in the landfill. Also, I'm also efforting to get some folks from Columbus, Ohio, to talk more about this whole thing where they were hacked. The town was hacked. Their information was pilfered. And basically, if you're a first responder down there and you were really impacted and you were starting to see, you know, if you're a police and fire ambulance, you were starting to see your identity stolen. Just after, I think July timeframe is when it happened.
Right.
And the mayor and all these folks are saying, oh, it couldn't have been anything from this hack, because what they would have gotten, the bad guys would have gotten, was corrupt or encrypted. So literally, from what I can tell, fibbing, you're either ignorant or you're fibbing. To your first responders, for crying out loud, you're going to lie to your police and fire about the data that was stolen. And a security researcher says, guys, I've been telling you guys, the security researcher has been telling the town, hey, no, I can see this on the dark web and it's not encrypted, it's not corrupted, I can see it right here. And they ignore him, so he has to go to the news media. So we're trying to get somebody from the news media to join us on our program. He had to tell them, hey, no, guys, it's over here on the dark web, it's right over here in this shady alley over here. this is, you know, this is that area of the internet where we don't want you to go with OpenDNS, right? We're trying to keep you away from that area. He went there. Just so you know, guys, anybody can do it. And what happens? The town sues him.
Yeah, they sued him. They sued him for disclosing that there was a cyber attack and information was actually obtained.
Right. So we're hoping to get some folks from Columbus to talk about it more who have been kind of following the story, covering the story. So I'm working on that. Hope to have that next Saturday with us. But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. MJ, hang on. Three lines open for you, 860-522-9842. We can even talk about that story if you want to talk about it, because to me it's very dystopian when you start having your government officials sue you for pointing out the lie that you're telling. And if you're in the IT world, you definitely want to have folks that are going to investigate. Like Brian Krebs hangs out in the dark web all the time.
Yes.
That's his...
Matter of fact, he taught himself Russian so that he could do that.
That's the kind of person you want checking his stuff out. We'll be right back. We're here till 11, and almost all four lines are all filled up. One line open for you. We'll do our best to get to all of you. 860-522-9842 is the number. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning, because if you guys aren't here, it's kids and cat time.
No.
We haven't had to resort to that. I'm sure Dennis's cats are doing fine, and my kids are okay. But we're not going to go there because you guys are keeping us busy. Let's go to MJ in New Haven. What's happening, MJ?
Good morning.
Morning.
MJ from New Haven. I'm also a member of the Pasty White Club.
Are you a computer geek, or you just have to be pasty white?
I'm a retired IT geek, but right. I don't wear black socks with white sneakers. I always thought that was a real geeky thing to do.
It is. How about your pocket pen protector there? Or your pen pocket protector, whatever it's called.
That I recycled.
Ah, very good.
My question involves the use of
Task Manager.
There you go.
Yep.
Showing my age here. I have an older Acer laptop that's getting slower and slower. Not surprisingly, it's got an i3 chip in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's given me good service.
Yeah.
But recently, it has gotten dramatically slower. So yesterday, I was trying to get something done, and it was really crawling. And so I went into Task Manager. My question is this. Of the metrics that show when you're in Task Manager, memory, disk, CPU, I'm assuming that it's the CPU percent that's going to point me to the offending process that's slowing it down. Do you agree, or is there something else I should be looking at?
Not necessarily. Okay. Something that we see from time to time is when RAM is being consumed, which is usually a software issue.
Yep.
And another thing that we see is 100% disk usage, where it's spiked at that, and it doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me about it.
Yesterday I was running. I used a Brave browser.
Yeah.
Yesterday it was running. It was consuming most of the use of the laptop. In second place, and I'm saying it, but based on how I sorted the memory use, was a Windows installer module, something to that effect. And I looked up on Google what it is, and it's a background process that just keeps running so that Microsoft can determine whether certain things need to be updated. It was consuming the second most amount of the laptop.
Yeah,
don't delete that, which I did not do.
No, you don't. And unfortunately, there's no real way to regulate that. That process actually checks what are called what we usually call the Metro apps. Mm-hmm. Those are the apps that you get from the Microsoft Store, and they show up a little differently on your computer. But that process checks the Microsoft Store and the whole cache of those apps on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to, because those are all stored in your user profiles, it has to check every user profile on the computer. And if there are multiple user profiles on a computer, it can really bog things down, both in terms of memory and disk usage.
If I upgrade it, I'm going to upgrade the laptop. I like Acer. I've got really good service out of it. And
sure.
I noticed that Acer's got an i9 processor out. If I had the Acer, you know, the most current Acer, do you think that there would be a dramatic, I would see things speed up dramatically, or that Windows process won't hang me up as much?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. And I wouldn't go with an i9, though, unless you're doing CAD. Not unless you're doing CAD. It's overkill.
No, I'm a retired guy. I do silly things like read online newspapers.
Yeah, i5, i7, then. Don't spend the money on
that. Yeah, I wouldn't spend the money on i9. I would spend it on more RAM.
Mm-hmm.
I would also spend it on a better SSD.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two things that are going to give you performance that you're going to see in the consumer space.
Yep.
As opposed to going from i7 to i9, that'll do nothing for you.
Yep.
It'll be great to have it, but it's just not gonna improve your computing life that much.
No.
I was never a CAD/CAM user. My second question, and then I'll let you go. I notice with the Brave processor, the task manager was showing that to be the most intensive process that was using.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a little symbol, like a greater than sign, that collapses and uncollapses what's running with it. And when I opened it up, I noticed like 9 Brave processes running. What is that all about?
Well, that's how all the Chromium browsers work.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they distribute the action of the browser to different processes that run simultaneously. And the goal there is to have things get displayed on your screen as quickly as possible, and to have it displayed correctly as quickly as possible. And it does that through it's kind of an internal distributed computing model. And like I said, all of the Chromium browsers do it.
Right.
When you say Chromium browser, are you suggesting that it's, or saying that it's a derivative of Google's Chrome browser?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Edge.
Brave, Google owned Brave?
No. See, here's
the
deal. Here's the deal. Chromium is a base that you can then take and develop your own browser based upon it. Okay. Right. Microsoft did that with Edge. Edge is a Chromium browser.
Yeah, they punted. They decided they couldn't do their own.
They gave up trying to have their own rendering engine, and they went with Chromium. And why not? I mean, it helps things be compatible across the internet on many different machines. But that is seeing all of those subtasks, for lack of a better term, is an inherent property of the Chromium browsers. And you can get away from that by going to maybe Firefox, but I think Firefox does something similar.
Which are kind of
I tried Firefox, and the same phenomenon happened.
I think they're using the same computing model.
And what you're seeing really is the reason we tell people to buy more CPU and more RAM in the first place, right? You're seeing that your i3 is kind of coming up against the problem of the bloated OS, even the bloated Chromium browsers. That really are huge memory hogs and CPU hogs. You're seeing that you're when you bought it as an i3, as far as I'm concerned, it was kind of like a Yugo to begin with, and now it's really showing that it can't really get up to 65 miles an hour.
It's about a 7-year-old laptop, so I know it's time to replace it. But,
yep. Spend a little
anyway,
more.
It's run like a champ, so I can't really complain. It's just I figured sooner or later, the depth and breadth of the software is going to eclipse the hardware capabilities.
Well, that, I would say that that's what's happening to you right now.
And if you've got 7 years, you've got your life.
And one thing that people will often say, I want to buy a computer, but all I'm going to do is browse the internet. Well, yeah, okay, great. But a browser is actually a big, bad, very complicated program now. It's not 20 years ago. It's complicated
Netscape
software,
Navigator.
And it's doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You have to have a processor with a certain amount of power behind it in order to do it well.
Yep.
And
so my Commodore VIC-20 wouldn't work too well, I guess.
No. It would work probably with the Lynx browser, but I don't know how many websites would work with that.
Yeah, old school.
All right. Thanks. You give me some good information here.
All right, MJ, good luck.
All right, thanks.
All right, you're welcome. Bye-bye. So it's really a matter of trying to get as, you know, an i9. He's going to go from an i3 to an i9 is like going from a Yugo to a Maserati. Right? He doesn't need to do that.
Yeah.
Just get that Honda Accord in the middle.
It's like I said, it's the RAM and the SSD that are going to give him the performance he's looking for.
Right. Spend a grand, get another 7 or so years out of the next laptop you're going to get or system you're going to get. Don't spend too little. You're just going to have the same problem because they still are manufacturing Pentium-based computers.
I know. I saw them. It's just unconscionable that they're still making and selling those things.
Right, and if you walk up one and you say, oh, a $200 computer, I bet you that runs the same as a $1,200 one. It's just $200 because I'm getting at a big box store. No, you're just buying a piece of junk. You're buying a toaster.
What you're doing is you're taking $200 and flushing it down the toilet.
Right, not good. So we'll step out for a quick break so they can do it ahead of Carolyn telling me for once. Mark and Dan, hang on, and... we have one line open for you, so we're going to step out for a quick break. All right, we are back. Coming in the final stretch here. We're here till 11 o'clock, but we'll do our best to get as many of your calls in as we can to the top of the hour. I know Dennis wanted to bring on a quick letter that we received, the old-fashioned, they used the old snail mail.
Yeah, we got a letter. Ron from Springfield sent in a letter it's a couple weeks ago. Sorry, Ron, I just got this morning.
Right.
But I wanted to tell you that the code that you're looking for is a 2FA code that is generated at the time that you're trying to log in, and it was sent to a phone number, assuming that that phone number was a mobile phone.
Right.
So if that phone number happens to be a cell phone, that is the number that will get that code at that moment.
Right. He's trying to authenticate something.
And it's trying to authenticate a login, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what he can do to get the company that he's using that he's trying to log into to change that phone number.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have to pursue their tech support.
Right.
And ask to or find out how to get it changed. Ron's got some limitations here. He's got some air-gapped computers that he's using at home.
Mm-hmm.
So he's logging in off-site at different places on other computers. And he doesn't have a lot of the resources that you and I would have to be able to correct this.
Right.
But his only recourse at the moment is to contact the company he's trying to log into.
Yep.
Have that number changed to a cell phone that he's got or alter the 2FA setup to some other venue that he does control. Maybe another email account that he can get into and have the one-time password sent to that.
Or an Audible phone that you just answer.
Or an Audible phone where it will pick up a voice call.
Yeah.
And it knows that it's a voice call, not an SMS or text message.
Right.
So that would be your solution, Ron, okay?
It can be frustrating.
I know. It's very frustrating. Also, he's looking for a Windows 7 Enterprise installer disk.
Hmm.
The only place that I would know to be able to get that right now would be eBay.
And good luck.
And yeah, you're going to have to be very careful about who you buy that from.
Yeah. May or may not be already in use.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on to your calls. Let's go to Mark in Cheshire. What's going on, Mark? Uh-oh. There we are.
I'm having trouble configuring OpenDNS.
Yep.
I've done it a couple of times before. I'm on the edit DNS settings screen. When I put my numbers in, the window turns red and it says invalid entry. And I got that PV4 on.
Yep.
And I don't know what's going on. I've done it a couple of times before, but it won't let me know. I went on your site.
Yep.
But it just has Windows 10 there. It doesn't have nothing about Windows 11.
Should be similar.
It is similar.
So you're going to set, there's two areas of your IP settings in the TCP/IP configs there, IPv4 and IPv6. You're going to have the top line be obtain, right? But you're going to set statically your OpenDNS numbers.
Yeah, but it's just telling him that it's not accepting the numbers that he's putting in.
Right, so he's going to get bad numbers?
Can't save settings, check one or more settings, try again.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it would be rejecting
DNS.
The only thing that I can think of is maybe there's a when you're typing it in, somehow there's like a space character that's
right.
getting in there
extra
that
dot.
You can't see, or an extra dot that you're not noticing. In other words, what I'm telling you is look for anything that's like a typo
mm-hmm.
in those boxes that you're filling out.
Well, I've checked it many times. It's all set.
We believe you, but logic would dictate there's something wrong with that input. So, and we've been through it ourselves. Like, did you put a zero or an O? You know the IP addresses, right? Whatever the IP address.
Yeah, 207 or. Sorry, 208, 67, 222, and then right. Same thing with 220 and 220 at the
right.
end.
Right.
So if it doesn't...
I use it so often, I got a picture of it in my phone.
that's handy.
Yeah, so there's got to be something silly you're doing.
PV6 is off, right?
IPv6,
you can turn it on or off. Would depend on whether your ISP is even carrying V6,
and they probably are.
They probably are, is true.
And then the thing is on that, if you don't secure the IPv6, because you can test both of these, you could actually not be as secure as you think you are because you're leaking out the IPv6 IPs versus the IPv4s. So you want to do both if you can. And you're stuck. It's got to be something silly you're doing. I swear you're putting it in right. I know you believe you're putting it in right. And I believe you that you think you are. But this is like when people say they can't get the password to work, and then they realize, oh, yeah, it was a 5, not an S. We hear this so often that it typically is something you're doing wrong. There's nothing in the DNS settings that even as an ad, he's a local admin. I mean, he's able... Well, that could be it. Could it be?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be giving him the error that the numbers are invalid. It would just refuse to allow the change after he made it.
Right. Are you able to get on the internet if you don't make the change, Mark?
What was that?
Are you able to get on the internet if you don't make any changes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And if you do like an ipconfig/all, you can see what your DNS settings are versus what you want to put in there. In the DOS,
starting to lose me.
Sorry.
All I know is when I cancel, everything's fine. I go on the internet, use it, whatever.
Yeah, but just not using OpenDNS's settings. All right, you know what? We'll punt it. We're gonna say, Mark, you're gonna obtain your DNS settings. You're gonna obtain it all. Do your setup on your router.
Yep.
Have it hand them out on the DHCP server. Let's just believe you. That for some reason your DNS settings can't be changed on your PC. So set them to be obtained and then go work on the router side of the equation so that anything on your network, your cell phones, your tablets, your laptops, will receive the open DNS settings automatically.
The only other settings I got here is DNS over HTTPS is off.
Yeah.
And it's off on the second one also.
Yep. Oh,
yeah, I know where you are in the Windows 11 settings. I've been there. I actually, at one point, I actually developed a little guide to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm missing something before this window?
I doubt it. I mean, you got to the right screen to set the DNS entry. I mean, there's
it's not much to it.
It's not a matter of anything that you went through before that in order to make the change that you're trying to make, so...
What kind of router do you have, Mark? Do you know?
Yeah, I have a Ray E.
A Ray E.
Okay. Mm. Ray E.
Hey, I watched a guy on YouTube. He was like 500 yards away and it was still pinging.
All right, cool. So we want you to work on that side of the equation. Work on the DHCP settings. We're running out of time here. Of that router and just have it hand out the DHCP settings. I got to let you go though, Mark. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, you can call in tomorrow, next Saturday too.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mark. Sorry I ran out of time. I want to thank Carolyn for doing everything she did today for us to run the program. Thank Mike G for posting everything on Facebook and over at Twitter. Thank Dennis for posting over at Computer Talk with Tab. And don't forget, we're going to be live, Tab Computer Systems World Headquarters in East Hartford, doing e-cycling for you guys. Bring your e-cycling. It's free. We'll take it off your hands.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you guys next Saturday.